In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant also of Aaron, which means that they both came from the priestly lineage. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers outside were praying. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him,
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. But he is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents of their children and the disobedient to wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? For I am an old, old man, and my wife is well along in years."
"I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which came, will come true in their appointed time."
Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion.
"The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people."
Now in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end."
"How could this be, since I am a virgin?"
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So that the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For you see, Mary, no word from God will ever fail.
I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.
Amen. And then the angel left her. What a great passage of scripture. What a marvelous story about two ordinary people who encountered an awesome God. Two ordinary people, an awesome God. In many ways, this passage and these two events are sort of set apart in contrast. Zacharias was a man. Mary was a woman. Zacharias and his wife were elderly. Mary was young. Zacharias and Elizabeth were married. Mary was a virgin, only engaged to be married. Zacharias doubted the angel's message, but Mary believed. And they sort of cover the whole spectrum of human, right? From the young to the old, from the married to the unmarried. But the one that is constant throughout is this awesome God. Ordinary people encountering an awesome God. We're ordinary people. No, we have that same awesome God. So let's see if we can walk through this incredible event and see what we ordinary people can learn for our life today. We start off with Zechariah, who was an ordinary man. But to be sure, the Bible says that he was a righteous man, but he had an aching heart. He was righteous because he was in a right relationship with God. That's really what the word righteous means. It means to be in a right or a good relationship with God. He was a priest, and he carried out his duties faithfully. By this time, you see, all the priests were the descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother, right? And by this time, generations later, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of priests. And so what happened in David's day is they divided the priests into 24 different divisions. And what would happen is these priests would kind of have regular jobs, but twice a year for a week, they would come to the temple and they would serve in the temple. And they'd go home and get their regular jobs. And Zacharias was one of these priests. So he was one that carried out his duties well. The second thing he says about Zacharias is that he was righteous and he was obedient. And so he had this right relationship and he was obedient to the commands of Moses and the commands of those given to the priest. It doesn't mean he was perfect. But what it means is that to the best of his ability, he lived out his life as a priest in faithfulness to God. And when he sinned, when he messed up, when he blew it, he'd take a sacrifice to wash away his sin. And so he was this righteous and obedient guy, serving God as a priest. But he had an aching heart. He had the ache in his heart of infertility. And he walked with his wife, Elizabeth, and they wept together and prayed together for many years. In this way, what Luke's doing is he's tying him back to some of those Old Testament people. The people like Abraham and Sarah and the mother of Samson and the mother of Samuel, women who were unable to have children and had carried on in that lineage. He had this aching heart. He's described, you see, as a man of faith, but his faith had a limit. You see, what we need to do is understand that when we meet Zechariah, it was on a very, very special day in his life. Because what was going on with Zechariah is that he was making up the offering of incense in the holy place. And as I said, there were all kinds of priests and they'd all take their turns. But what would happen is that they would cast lots. Lots were kind of like dice. And it was a little bit kind of like gambling, I guess, in a way. You put your name there and they'd cast the dice. And the name that came out would get to be the one that once in their lifetime, and not every priest got to do this, but once in their lifetime, if you did it once, you were disqualified. You got to go into the holy place. Now, I've got a picture up here. It's actually of the tabernacle, but the temple was set up the same way. You see, there was the Holy of Holies at the top there where the Ark of the Covenant and the glory of God dwelt. And then there was this big, thick curtain. And in front of the curtain was a golden altar of incense. And then in front of it was the candlesticks that lit that place, although it was kind of dimly lit. And then there was the table of showbread, which was on the side. And once in his lifetime, and this is the day Zechariah the priest would go in, and he would put incense on the coals, and the incense would rise up, symbolizing the prayers of God, God's people. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 30 if you like, but when they were praying, you see what Zechariah would do is he would pray for the nation of Israel. Well, what would he pray for the nation of Israel? Well, I'll tell you some of the prayers. One thing is that 4,000 years before this happened, God had promised Abraham that he'd have a descendant that would be an incredible blessing to all the nations of the world. And then 1,000 years before this event happened, Zechariah, God had promised King David. You remember King David? And God had promised David, you need to understand that somebody of your descendants, somebody of your lineage is going to reign on your throne forever and ever. And another thing that had happened is not much. Because Israel wasn't yet a blessing to all of the nations like God had promised Abraham 4,000 years ago. And in terms of somebody sitting on David's throne for all eternity, between the time of Solomon, David's son, and the time of Jesus, about 25 different nations had conquered Israel. And they sure didn't feel like they were going to be the ones whose throne was lifted up high. And on top of all of that, it had been 400 years since a prophet had spoken to Israel. 400 years since God had spoken to his people through the prophet Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And so Zechariah goes and he offers up these prayers that Israel would be a nation that blesses all nations. Prayers that God would put on the throne of Israel a descendant of David to last forever. Prayers that finally God would speak to them again after 400 years of praying and crying out and just getting silence from the heavenlies. And Zechariah would pray and worship and expect on behalf of the people of Israel. But he'd been praying another prayer for decades, hadn't he? Every day, every week, every month, every year, decade after decade, he'd begged God for a child. And it just didn't happen. And for decades, he'd held Elizabeth in his arms as she wept and beseeched God to give them a child. But it didn't happen. And now the years had passed, and the decades had passed, and the time of having a child had passed. And Zechariah had a limit to his faith. He was about the business of burning incense, symbolizing the prayers of God's people and praying for himself. He's in the middle of it when all of a sudden an angel appears to tell him that his prayers had been answered, that what he'd been crying out for decades and years was about to come to pass. And his response is one of doubt. His response is, oh yeah? Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Give me a sign. How am I going to know that this is true? Prove it to me. Show me. How much of Zechariah's faith had been just going through the motions? How much of his prayers had been just speaking this prayer that he'd been doing for decades? But he didn't really believe that it was going to come true after a while, because when the time came, the angel appeared, he's like, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. This can't be. I'm an old man. And my wife is well along in years. You see, Zechariah was just an ordinary man. An old man in an old body that was starting to wear out. Who took his walk with God seriously. Who had a life that honored God. But he had understood that living a life of dedication doesn't always result in getting what your heart ached for. He was a man of faith who still prayed to God to come through with all of his promises after 4,000 years and after centuries. But he was a man who felt that his prayers for his child could not be answered. And this ordinary man, this guy that's like us, he encountered an awesome God. Why is God awesome? Well, if you look at the passage, there's 4 or 5 things that I think that just show the awesomeness of God in this. The first thing is this. Remember I said that God had not spoken to his people for 400 years. And one of the first words out of the angel's mouth is a message from God. Look at your Bibles. What does it say? It says this. Fear not. What an incredible God. I mean, we are supposed to fear God in the terms of hold him in reverence and understand that he's majestic. But when it comes to this relational stuff, when it comes to being standing before him, when it comes to being terrified that he's going to squish us like a bug because we're aware of our sin, God comes to us and in his mercy and in his grace, he says to us, hey, I know what's going on in your life and I understand that it's tough for you. Fear not. Let that blood pressure come down. Fear not. What an awesome God. And the second thing about this awesome God is, what's the second thing he says? Your prayer has been heard. Think about this. There's this king of the universe. There's this one that speaks things into existence. There's this one who guides the waterways, who changes the hearts of kings and rulers like the waters of the river. This God who has named all of the stars. This God who can whisper and the rocky mountains would fall into rubble. This God, and he comes to you and he says, listen to me now. Your prayer is heard. What an awesome God. Zechariah had a hard time keeping on believing it, but this angel comes and he says, I've got a message to you from the King of Kings, and this is the message. Your prayer is heard. It might not feel right now like you want it to feel, and it might not be happening like this like you want it to happen, but your prayer is heard. What an incredible God. The third thing we see in this incredible God is he comes and he says, hey, Zechariah, I'm going to do a miracle. I understand that your wife is barren. I understand that you are way past in years. I understand that there are these obstacles which are standing in the way of your life and what I want to do. But what you need to understand, Zechariah, is for an awesome God, obstacles are nothing more or nothing less than an opportunity. It's this awesome God that takes the obstacles in your life and uses it as an opportunity to draw you close and to show his awesomeness. What an awesome God. Now, fourth thing about this awesome God is that he fulfills his promises. Remember I said that Malachi 400 years was the last guy, the last prophet? Well, these are kind of the last words, if you look in your Old Testament. In this fourth chapter of these last words, he says this. See, I'm going to send the prophet Elijah. Now, don't forget, Elijah had been dead for quite... No, he hadn't dead, I see. See? You biblical scholars should have corrected me right there. He did not die. They went. I'll send the prophet Elijah. He'd been gone from earth before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he'll turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. And what do you see in verse 17? What you see in verse 17 is God says through the angel, listen, this child that Mary is going to bear, this miracle that's going to happen, it is going to begin to be the fulfillment of what you've been waiting for 4,000 years. He is going to come and turn the hearts of people. He's going to come in the spirit of Elijah and prepare the way for the Savior, for the Messiah. This is what an awesome God. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what blew me away this week as I meditated on these two stories. I mean, obviously you're blown away by Mary, you know, the Son of God. And that's an incredible thing. But what struck me this week is this. Because I can relate. Zechariah was an ordinary guy. He had faith. He did. And he lived faithfully and he lived as obediently as he could. And he carried out his stuff. He did his thing and he had faith and he waited for God to do his thing for Israel and all those things. But there was a limit to his faith. Do you see that? That his faith was limited. And right at the moment of triumph, right at the time when it should have been the pinnacle of his belief, right at the time when his prayer was going to be seen to come true, right at the time when he was standing before a messenger of Almighty God, right at the time when his heart should have soared because finally his faith is paying off and finally God is coming through, God comes and says, guess what? I'm going to answer your prayer. And he says, yeah, prove it. I don't believe it. Man, like this is third and one with 20 seconds left on the clock at a tie. And he chokes. And he says, I don't believe it. Man, that's like me. I've got faith. Honestly, I do. I have faith. I pray. I try to carry out my duties well. Try and be obedient as the Spirit gives me ability. But so often when it comes to the line, I can choke. I can say, yeah, maybe for everybody else and maybe in the big picture, but I don't know about this right now. But here's the best part. This is what I love. God's, can think about this. The angel Gabriel appears. He's in this dark, you know, semi-lit place. His eyes have adjusted. There's a little bit of candlestick with light. All of a sudden, the place is ablaze. There's a stinking big angel standing there. Guess what? Your wife's going to get pregnant. And he says, yeah, I'd like a little proof. What am I? I'm Gabriel. My chopped liver. I'm Gabriel here, buddy. And listen, I'll give you a proof. You're not going to get to talk until the time's done. And so God kind of does that. But that's fine. But here's the awesome thing. God still flows through him. To me, that is God. This is the awesomeness of God. That we come to the time when our faith really needs to pull us through and we choke and God says, yeah, well, okay, maybe it's going to be quite so pleasant. You're not going to get to celebrate through a party with everyone because you're not going to be able to talk, but I am still going to come through for you. What a God. What an awesome, awesome, awesome God. What a God that we need as just ordinary people who get third down, 1 yard to go, 20 seconds of the clock, and we choke, and God says, it's okay. I'm going to pick you up and carry you over anyhow. What an awesome, awesome God. An ordinary man, but an awesome God. And we learn more about this awesome God when it comes to Mary, who in many, many ways was an ordinary woman. I mean, just look at how this awesome God interacts with her. Number one, God chooses a nobody from a nowhere town. You know, if you think about the time, you know, around the day with the Greek mythology, think about Greek mythology, Zeus and the guys, right? What do we see in the mythologies of the day of that time is all the action happens in the heavenlies. You've got this God fighting this God, and maybe every once in a while a demigod, you know, a semi-man, semi-god will get caught up into that. And maybe the odd time a human being will get caught up in that drama, but really all the action's up there, and it's all about power and strength and lightning bolts and magic and all those things. And in the face of that, this awesome God says, no, 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 no. The action's going to take place on earth. And I'm going to use a little girl. A little 14, 15-year-old girl. And she's going to come from a place called Nazareth. Not even a capital. It's just a little village. And it's not even a good village. I mean, it's up in a kind of Gentile country. What an awesome God. Who shows his strength through weakness. And he fights the battle on earth with a teenage girl betrothed to a carpenter. And he does another miracle. I mean, next to the resurrection, it's got to be close to the miracle of all miracles, right? He gives a virgin birth. He says the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you are going to have a child. And that leads to the third thing about this awesome God. You're going to name him Jesus. You're going to name him Yeshua, which is two words put together. A name that means Yahweh or God. Yahweh saves. And this is the awesome God that we have, that in his grace and in his mercy and in his love, he looks down upon us and he sees us struggling with our sin, and he sees us in our darkness, and he sees us in our chains being bound. We sang all about that, right? Bound out in whatever chains of sin and addictions and fear or whatever it is. And he says, you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to save you from that. I'm going to break those chains. I'm going to take sin upon myself and wash you clean so that you can stand pure before God. And I'm going to rise from the dead so that death doesn't have rule over you. And though you may die, yet you will live. Because I'm going to save you. What an awesome, awesome God. And then Gabriel says this, the fourth thing about this awesome God to Mary. He says, it's been a few thousand years, but God's word will never fail. What an awesome God. And all of this awesome God, he comes to Mary, who in many ways is just an ordinary woman. I mean, there she is, a young girl with dreams of getting married and thinking about the life of a carpenter's wife. I'm wondering how many children she's going to have, and what is he going to cook, and what's it going to be like being married, and Joseph's such a great guy, and how can I have been so lucky, and all these dreams that this young girl would have. It's an ordinary girl. A girl who was afraid when an angel appeared to her, just like you would be. I mean, that's what Gabriel has to say, Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of this kind of strange message you're getting about God's delight is on you. And this is an ordinary girl who had faithful honesty. And she says, okay, how will this be? Since I've never known a man. In other words, I'm a virgin. I've never had sex. How am I going to be pregnant? What do I need to do to carry this out? You see, there's a bit of a contrast there with Zechariah. Zechariah asked a question of doubt. Prove it to me. Mary asked a question of clarification. How's it going to be? Zechariah said, prove it to me. Mary asks, what do I need to do? And the cool thing is that the angel Gabriel says, well, you don't need to do anything. Except be willing to have your life completely change direction. You don't have to do anything. Except face the potential of the man you love rejecting you, and your family rejecting you. Mary, you don't have to do anything except experience the scorn and the gossip and the raised eyebrows and the titters of the people of the village because you're pregnant and you're not married. You don't have to do anything except be willing to face that. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word. The perfect, perfect response of an ordinary person who encounters an awesome God. We're ordinary people. I'm an ordinary person. You're an ordinary guy. You're an ordinary girl. You're an ordinary man. You're an ordinary woman. But we've got an awesome God. The same awesome God. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a bit of a time of prayer, a chance for you to do some business with God. The team's going to come up and we're going to kind of be singing that song, you know, My Heart Is Yours. But you don't have to join that in right away. I want to give you the chance to pray. I don't know. Maybe you're like Zechariah. And you've been waiting so long to see God and to encounter God in some situation that you've kind of given up and you're just going through the motions. And you want to get that straightened around. I've been there. Just kind of pray without expecting, preach without expecting, do Jesus without expecting. Maybe that's the spot you're in. Maybe you're afraid. Some fear seized your heart. You got worried, you got cancer, your relationship's in danger, you're afraid. Maybe you're doubting God. yeah, I guess in the big picture, God's going to do his thing. And yeah, I hear about, you know, for other people, God's going to come through. But I've been praying about this for a long time. And I'm just not sure God's got my best interest at heart. And that's the spot you're in. You're still faithful. You're still walking. You're still praising. But you got that heaviness like Zechariah had. Maybe you're like Mary. Maybe you're a young person. And you've got dreams ahead of you. But you just have this sense that God's turning the direction of your life. And it's scary. Because you're not sure you want to let go of what you've been dreaming about for so long. Maybe you're facing rejection. Somebody you cared about, somebody you loved, just kind of wants to push you aside privately because they're not ready to deal with the stuff you've got going on. Maybe you're the object of gossip. And it just hurts going into that coffee room because the conversation stops. I don't know what your stuff is. I got stuff going on. And we just want to give you a chance to come before this awesome God, just as an ordinary person. To just come before this awesome God and let him speak to your heart. And you can listen to this guy sing, and then if you want to join in at some point as the Spirit moves, then you go ahead and do that. Or if you just want to keep doing business with God, then that's cool too. Okay? These guys are going to lead us in this song by way of prayer. You come before this awesome God as just an ordinary person who wants to say like Mary, my heart is yours, my heart is yours, my life is yours. Take it in your hands. Take all of it in your hands. Because I want to know you. Let's pray this stuff together.